It is so good to be back, especially because I was a week in Aggieland, and it's always good to be back anywhere out of Aggieland. But I enjoyed my time in College Bryant Station with the brethren there and the congregation there and the young men. The Spiritual Development Conference was extremely successful, and from so many different avenues that it would be simply hard to make mention of all of them. And that's not really our topic of the hour, not that it's going to take an hour, but the topic of this particular time frame. We are have been talking on Wednesday night about giving and the importance of giving and the process of giving. Now, there's always a little discomfort when you start talking about giving to people. There's a certain, may I say, a certain suspicion about someone who talks about giving. Somebody wants to give us something, and in today's world, we're just a little bit suspicious. And if somebody asks us to invest in something, now, you probably ought to be a little bit suspicious, but we're pretty suspicious about people. Even if it's the right thing, we're still somewhat suspicious about things. And so tonight, what I would like for us to do, we've already talked about the principle of giving. And you remember that the first principle of all giving is the fact that I must, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 5, I must give myself first. That's what the Macedonians were called out for in a good way. Paul called them out, used them as an example unto all men in the fact that not only did they give above and beyond, but the reason why they were able to do that was because they first gave themselves. It is a guarantee that if you are 100% invested in something, then it will be easy to give of time, of talent, of attention, of effort and energy to that particular concept. It'll be easy. You won't have to be drugged, you see, or drugged in order to get there. Because you will be already addicted to the ministry, you see. And so I'm invested in it. I've invested my whole heart. I've invested my whole life. The number one principle of giving is that I must give myself first. Now, the second part of that was we talked about the motivation of our giving. The motivation of our giving is in verses 8 through 15 of 2 Corinthians, and it is the proper motivation is the motivation of love. If you'll notice there, he says in verse number 8, at the very end, that they were to prove the sincerity of their love. In other words, what Paul is saying is, a year ago, when we first started talking about the giving to the Judeans, you guys really talked it up. Y'all know anybody, you don't have to answer out loud, and please don't give me their name, but people who talk a big game but never follow through, there are a lot of people like that. They're big talkers and little workers. Well, Paul wanted to make sure that the Corinthians were not big talkers and little walkers. He wanted to make sure that they would prove the sincerity of their love by the grace of giving. So in other words, what Paul is saying here is, brethren, I want you to put your money where your mouth is. Probably never heard that before, right? That is a Bible term. That is exactly what he is saying. I cannot say that I love Jesus and do not give him any time. I do not use my talents and abilities toward his cause. And I am stingy with my money. I'm just saying. That's what the Bible says. So the motivation as to why I do it is not to be seen of men. That would be hypocrisy, right? That would be Matthew chapter 6. I'm giving of my alms to be seen of men. No, men may see my alms, but that ain't the purpose of why I'm doing what I'm doing. Now, tonight I want us to focus on the character of giving. And the character of giving is, as we started, it is without suspicion. You see, the character in my giving needs to be done in that fashion. Now, when people want to give, and New Testament Christians, when we're talking about giving, I should not assume that somebody has poor motives in giving something. Well, that person only gave a cause. You know, you probably never had those thoughts run through your mind. Well, that person, you know, why? Why are we suspicious with regards to giving? Why is an elder standing up every Wednesday night, except the Wednesday night he wasn't here, and talk to the church about giving? There's got to be something up, right? What do those elders have in mind now? You know, we already got a tower going up. We got a building going up, a radio station. What have they got in mind now? They're talking about all this money. Good thing Mike ain't up here. We'd be accusing him of already wanting a raise, you see. We have suspicious minds, don't we? And so I want you to notice, by the way, he's not getting, no, that's a different story. Look with me at chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. Look with me at the, he says, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. In other words, Paul said, I ain't going around raising all this money just so I can live high on the hog. Don't blame us for the abundance of the money that we're raising. This money's going to Judean saints. They need this effort. But now notice this. We should provide things honest in the sight of all men. There ought always to be some accountability with regards to money, because we're highly suspicious. You know, and suspicious minds are dangerous in the Lord's church. So we got to give an account of everything. Now, different people give an account. Look at verse number 21. He says here, providing for honest things. Romans 12, 17, he would say, provide things honest in the sight of all men. But notice, he says, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. There needs to be, when money is involved, there needs to be some accountability involved in it. Now, there's accountability involved in everything, but especially in regards to money, because of suspicious minds. And so many people choose to do the accounting a little bit different. There's an expedient here in accountability. Some, they gather up a sheet every month of all of the financial transactions, and they post it out for everybody to take a sheet every month. I'm not really a fan of that, because I don't think that people coming in off the street should know our financial business, to be honest with you. I don't think that people visiting from other congregations should, I don't think they have a right to our financial transactions and things. This is a family thing. By the way, if that's the case, that congregations across town, let me know your bank account. Would you mind? We're neighbors, we're brethren. Wouldn't it be all right if I just had access to your... No, it would not. You know it would not. But there has to be an accountability here somewhere. Now, some people do it quarterly. Some people do it yearly. Here's what the elders of the Ninth and Main Congregation have chosen. We have chosen a men's business meeting once a quarter, in which, at that business meeting, we give an account to the men of this congregation about the financial transactions. And anyone, by the way, let me just go ahead and state this. None of the other elders are here, right? Okay, good. I can go ahead and state this then. No, I would state it if they're here. If you need an accountability sheet concerning the financial transactions, and you are not a man, nor do you have a man to represent you, get with one of the elders. It's as simple as that. You're a member here. There's an accountability that we have a responsibility with regards to you. This is the method that we have chosen, and we believe it's a pretty expedient method with regards to this congregation. And so it is always available. I want you to know that, because, you see, we don't want any suspicious minds going on with reference to, what are those elders doing with all that money? We got $4,000 a week coming in. What are they doing with all that stuff? You see? Well, you have a right to know what's happening financially. You have a right to know as members of this congregation. There's an accountability associated with that. That is what 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 20 and 21 is talking about. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, by the way, on your job, if there are some financial transactions, you better make sure that there's an accountability system. Now, it protects your employer, and it protects you. You make sure you get receipts for everything you spend company money on. And then you give that receipt with all of the extra funds. Now, don't be none of that embezzling stuff. All right? That's unchristian. because that's not providing things honest in the sight of all men. One thing I want to impress upon you is this, tonight especially. The Bible has the answer for everything that we do. Everything. Now some people say, I don't want the Bible in my house. I don't want the Bible in my checkbook. I don't want the Bible in my bedroom. Well listen, if you're a fornicator, the Bible's going to be in your bedroom. If you're an adulterer, the Bible's going to be in your bedroom because God's going to judge you one day. And it's going to be in your pocketbook as well. Because the Bible has more to say about accountability with money than any other topic addressed, period. So I'm just addressing it from the vantage point of what does 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 say? There's a lot in there in the Bible. Tells you how to handle it. Tells you how to use it. Tells you what happens if you misuse it. And above all, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse number 9 tells us the greatest example of giver that has ever transpired. This is the example for us here tonight. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. Don't you want to be rich? Listen, I want to be rich. I want to be filthy rich. I want to be so rich that all of my sins are washed away. That's how rich I want to be. I don't want there to be a single sin hanging over my head on the day of judgment. And I want that for you too as well. So I want you to come tonight if you're outside of the body of Christ. And I want to beseech you to obey the gospel. I want you, listen, we tell the story of the cross so often that sometimes we forget the power invested in it. Jesus was so brutalized upon that cross that the Bible says His mother could not even recognize Him. His visage, His face was so marred above all other men upon the face of the earth, the sons of men. His body was mangled and wrangled upon the cross. And He did that not for Himself, but He did that for us. He suffered. He became poor so that I could be rich in the eyes of God. If you will obey the gospel tonight, if you will respond to it by repentance and confession of your sin, confession of Christ, and you will be buried in the watery grave of baptism tonight, all of your sins will be washed. You will be made rich. Filthy, rich. This is the richest kingdom. There is no nation, no kingdom as rich as the kingdom of God here upon the earth. So you can be a part of that. I want you to be a part of that. If you're a child of God and you've forgotten about those riches and you began to wallow in the dirt and the mire and the mud with pigs, the Bible still says you can be washed again, washed clean by confession of that sin. By repentance of that sin, you can come home and be filthy rich again. Won't you do that as together we stand and sing?